WKJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8 o'clock, it's mostly clear to partly cloudy, and it's 11 degrees above zero. We look for a chance of mixed precipitation toward midday and early afternoon, a high around 36. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News, brought to you by ASI, Audiology and Hearing Instruments and Atlantic. Lieutenant Governor Kim Reynolds has announced a series of town hall meetings will be held across the state with regard to the importance of giving students a great education in science, technology, engineering, and math, otherwise known as STEM courses. Reynolds is co-chair of the Governor's Science, Technology, Engineering, and Mathematics Advisory Council, along with Mary Adringa, CEO of the Vermeer Corporation. The council's goal is to raise student interest and achievement in STEM and build a stronger workforce in that area. The tour will update Iowans on the progress being made by the council, showcase student STEM presentations, and seek feedback from community members about how the council should set their STEM priorities as they move forward. Governor Branstad, Mary Adringa, and local business leaders will join Reynolds at select town hall meetings. Now, the public is welcome to attend those events, one of which will be held on Corning, on Tuesday, March the 6th, and that begins at 1:30 p.m. Lieutenant Governor Kim Reynolds and Governor Terry Branstad will be in attendance for that meeting, which will be held in the auditorium at the Southwest Valley High School. KJAN News Time is 8:01.
Excuse me?
I'm sorry.
Pardon?
What?
I didn't hear you. What'd you say?
This is Doug Leonard, audiologist at ASI. Even though there are many ways to politely tell someone you didn't hear them, not being able to understand what people are saying to you is frustrating for everyone. Because hearing loss happens gradually, many times you and those around you develop coping behaviors to keep the communication flowing. Speaking louder, lip reading, and eventually the frequent request to repeat. But because those behaviors don't address the real source of frustration, your hearing loss, it can become a hearing problem for everyone involved. The best way to avoid the frustration is to recognize the real culprit and to take action. A hearing evaluation is the first step. Even if what you're experiencing is a very mild hearing loss and hearing aids are not needed, knowing what's going on allows you to stay on top of your hearing loss. No one wants a conversation that revolves around,
excuse me?
I'm sorry.
Pardon?
I didn't hear you. What did you say?
Call today. ASI with offices in Atlantic, Audubon, Manning, and Carroll.
Well, four large medical centers in Iowa's Mercy Health Network have formed a new regional governing board. Mercy Medical Centers in Sioux City, Mason City, Dubuque, and Clinton have formed one board to provide governance and oversight to the medical centers. The organization's officials say it will allow greater unity in developing strategies and pursuing better care, lower costs, and healthier communities. Dave Valinga, president and CEO of Mercy Health Network, says modern health care requires regional partnerships and contracting, and the new board will allow the hospitals to leverage greater size and scale to improve efficiencies. The new regional board does not replace the local board in each medical center's home community. Each site continues to have a board to ensure that community input and control over local health care delivery. A study paid for by Iowa regulators says a land-based casino in Sioux City should expect revenue to rise up to 40% over the current water-based casino's revenue. The study by Minneapolis-based Marquette Advisors projects that the Hard Rock Hotel and Casino will generate $78.5 million in gross revenue in fiscal year 2017. That's more than $22 million higher than the $56 million in revenue posted by the Argosy Sioux City Riverboat Casino in the budget year that ended June 30th. The $128.5 million Hard Rock venue is currently under construction in downtown Sioux City. The former Mystique Casino employee is accused of stealing more than $20,000 worth of customer reward points. 36-year-old Joy Smith of Cuba City, Wisconsin, was in Dubuque District Court on Thursday to face a theft charge. Smith had worked as a casino host supervisor and oversaw the casino's players' club services. An Iowa DCI agent says Smith accessed players' club accounts and converted their points into cash vouchers. The agent says Smith then cashed the vouchers and kept the money. The criminal complaint says Smith cashed 45 vouchers at the Mystique Casino since February of 2012 using 26 players' club accounts. Some Iowa schools may soon see changes in how they administer free and reduced price meal programs. U.S. Ag Secretary Tom Vilsack says a new proposal calls for schools in high poverty areas to serve breakfast and lunch free to all students and not just those who qualify under the current guidelines.
We've already tried this in 11 states, and what we've seen is an increase in school lunch participation of 5%, and in the school breakfast program, almost 10%.
Vilsack, a former Iowa governor, says the program change would see free meals provided for all children in certain schools, where now about 40% of the students qualify.
Why not just simply let all the youngsters in that school, since you have a high percentage, to access the school lunch program and the free lunch program?
While it stands to reason that feeding more students would increase costs, Vilsack says the change is designed to save money.
We're not only going to save administration expense over the next 4 years as we phase this in, we're going to see increased participation in school lunch and also in school breakfast.
The U.S. Department of Agriculture says 9 million children and 22,000 schools nationwide would qualify. It's getting harder for small Iowa cities to find and keep enough volunteers who are willing to staff their ambulances. In cities with just a few hundred residents like Fostoria and Peterson in northwest Iowa, it's difficult to find people willing to attend the 100 hours of required training. Small-town ambulance services offer no pay. In addition, many people work outside their small communities, making them unavailable for calls during work hours. In Fostoria, a town of about 230 people, they have 20 volunteers, but Assistant Fire Chief Dewey Stouffer says only about 7 or 8 are always active. Peterson's ambulance service has 9 medical technicians, but just 2 who work in town during the day, and they cover 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. shifts Monday through Friday. The Iowa Senate unanimously approved a measure lessening the penalties for people who knowingly expose someone to HIV with no intention of infecting them. The Senate approved the bill 48-0 Thursday, sending it to the House. Democratic Senator Robert Hogue of Cedar Rapids said the bill attempts to change a law approved years ago before people knew of appropriate precautions that could be taken to avoid infections. The law now says if someone exposes a partner to HIV without their consent, they can be convicted of a felony punishable by up to 25 years in prison. The bill creates more general rules about infectious diseases, making people eligible for 25-year sentences only if they intend to transmit a disease without someone's knowledge. University of Iowa President Sally Mason is facing criticism after saying that ending sexual assault, quote, probably not a realistic goal, just given human nature. Mason has apologized for the comment she made earlier this month. On Thursday, she opened a public forum on sexual assault issues. Mason told a group of about 200 of her experience of being assaulted by a stranger when she was a college student back in 1970. She said a man in a trench coat groped her as she walked to class in Lexington, Kentucky before she was able to get away. Growing emotional, Mason said she wants young women on campus to, quote, know where to go if something like that happens to them. The Iowa Board of Regents scheduled a meeting for today to hear more from Mason. The University of Northern Iowa is seeking the assistance of police, the Iowa DCI, and Internal Revenue Service to investigate after several employees reported problems with filing tax returns. More than 50 employees have reported irregularities. Some report their tax returns were filed by someone else, and others have received a refund without having filed a return. The university was first notified on February 6th and created a task force to investigate. University spokesman Scott Kettleson said no data breach had been identified in university systems, but UNI is offering employees free credit monitoring. He says no students have reported any problems. Oakland University in Michigan and the University of Maryland report similar circumstances, and Arkansas State University had the same problem last February. Finally, in state news, a plan to develop a state-run facility for delinquent girls narrowly cleared the Iowa Senate. The Senate bill approved on a Thursday in a party-line vote with 26 Democrats in favor and 22 Republicans opposed. The legislation now goes to the House, where it could face Republican opposition. The bill is in response to Governor Terry Branstad's closure of the Iowa Juvenile Home back on January 15th. It was originally drafted with the intent of reopening the home, but now just says a state-run center for delinquent girls is needed. Democratic Senator Joe Balcom, who sponsored the bill, says the goal is to do best by the girls as quickly as possible. Republican Senator David Johnson of Ochedon says perhaps more time is needed to decide what's best for the girls. Taking a look at national news headlines at this hour, U.S. officials say Al-Qaeda is getting ready to relaunch itself in earnest once the U.S. and international forces withdraw from Afghanistan. Allied drone and jet missile strikes against militants have been intensified now, but officials say the counterterrorism operation could be jeopardized without a security deal with Kabul, keeping some forces in the country after 2014. A heavy rainstorm in Southern California could bring mudslides and flooding when it reaches its full force today. Forecasters say rain could be falling up to an inch per hour. Mudslide worries on steep mountain slopes already stripped by wildfires prompted the evacuation of about 1,000 homes yesterday. Airline pilots are wanted, but is there a shortage? The Government Accountability Office, or GAO, says the airline industry is going to need thousands of pilots over the next decade. Regional airlines report some hiring difficulty, but they pay less. No major airlines are experiencing problems finding pilots. The GAO report is scheduled to be released today. And finally in the news, workers at a Mississippi funeral home say they found a man alive and kicking when they opened a body bag. Holmes County Coroner Dexter Howard calls it a miracle that 78-year-old Walter Williams is alive. The coroner was called to Williams' home in Lexington, where family members believed he had died. Howard said Williams had no pulse and was pronounced dead Wednesday night. Early Thursday, workers at the Porter & Sons funeral home in Lexington were preparing to embalm Williams when he started to kick in a body bag. Family members were called, and Williams was taken to a hospital. Howard said he believes Williams' pacemaker stopped working and then started again. Family members say Williams, who's a farmer, told them he's happy to be alive. News time is 8:11.
Is your world shrinking? I'm not referring to the size of the planet, but to your surroundings, the part of your world in which you interact. This is Doug Leonard, audiologist at ASI. If you're beginning to experience a hearing loss, or if you've had one and it's becoming worse, your world really does, in essence, start to shrink. For example, if you're sitting close to someone in a small, well-lit room, it's not difficult to hear the person talking to you. But beyond that easy listening situation, you could begin to struggle. Compare it to being in the woods at night with only a candle. You won't see very much. But if you exchange that candle for a flashlight, your circle will be a bit larger. And then when the sun comes up, you'd be able to see quite a distance. The same thing happens with hearing loss and hearing aids. In your small, well-lit room, your circle is, again, pretty small. But my goal is to help people realize when they're having a problem, and then to try to expand their circle, to get them out of their small room and back to enjoying the world. People's experiences vary, and there's not a one-size-fits-all remedy. But the first step to keeping your circle where you want is to make an appointment. Call today, ASI, with offices in Atlantic, Audubon, Manning, and Carroll.
And in the funeral announcements, Robert D. Ehrenholz, age 79, of Harlan, died Tuesday in Omaha. Funeral services for Robert Ehrenholz will be held today at 10:30 at the Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Harlan. Burmeister Johansson Funeral Home in Harlan has the arrangements. Leroy Fuller, age 77, of Earlham, died Monday in Des Moines. Memorial services for Leroy Fuller will be today at 10:30 at the United Methodist Church in Earlham. Johnson Family Funeral Home in Earlham has arrangements. Linda Shea, age 65, of Atlantic, died Saturday. Services for Linda Shea will be this afternoon at 1:30 at the Roland Funeral Home in Atlantic. Kermit Markison, age 100, of Harlan, died Tuesday. Memorial services for Kermit Markison will be this afternoon at 3 o'clock at the Burmeister Johansson Funeral Home in Harlan. Joseph Michael Beeson, age 88, of Clarinda, died Tuesday. A Mass of Christian burial service for Joseph Beeson will be held tomorrow at 10 o'clock at St. Clair Catholic Church in Clarinda. The Eichemeyer Funeral Chapel in Clarinda has arrangements. Sharon Peterson, age 77, of Avoca, died Tuesday in Harlan. A celebration of life service for Sharon Peterson will be tomorrow at 10 o'clock at the First Baptist Church in Harlan. Pauly Jones Funeral Home in Harlan has arrangements. Gladys Hall, age 91, a longtime Atlantic resident, died Monday at the Heritage House. Funeral services for Gladys Hall will be tomorrow at 10 o'clock at Zion Lutheran Church in Atlantic. Roland Funeral Home in Atlantic has arrangements. Frederick Fritz Gilbert Miller II, age 86, of Avoca, died Wednesday in Harlan. Funeral services for Fritz Miller II will be tomorrow at 11 o'clock at the Pauly Jones Funeral Home in Avoca. Scott Stephenson, age 24, of Adair, died Monday at his home. Memorial services for Scott Stephenson will be Saturday at 2 o'clock at Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Adair. Hockenberry Family Care in Atlantic has arrangements. Brian Edward Moy, age 46, of Avoca, died February 22nd at home. A celebration of life service for Brian Moy will be on Sunday at 3 o'clock at the Pauly Jones Funeral Home in Avoca. Phyllis Rohner, age 88, of Fontenelle, died Thursday at the Good Samaritan Society in Fontenelle. Funeral services for Phyllis Rohner will be Monday at 11 o'clock at Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Fontenelle. Steen Funeral Home of Fontenelle has arrangements. Gene Dunshee, age 88, of Clarinda, has died. Funeral services for Gene Dunshee will be held on Tuesday at 10:30 at the Westminster Presbyterian Church in Clarinda, Ritchie Funeral Home. and Clorinda has the arrangements. And Jill Steffens Blotny, age 65, of Carson, has died. Funeral services for Jill Steffens Blotny will be held Tuesday at 11 o'clock at the Wheeler Grove United Church of Christ in rural Carson, Lus Funeral Home in Lus Hills Funeral Home, and Carson has the arrangements. That is a check of our news brought to you by ASI, Audiology and Hearing Instruments, at 601 Poplar in Atlantic. Call 243-5796. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.